All right, turn your Bible to Psalm 119 and starting in verse 25. Today we'll be looking at the starting stanza as far as Dalet is concerned, which means door. Each one of these Hebrew letters have a meaning. Again, just to kind of remind you that Psalm 119 is what's considered an acrostic poem. It's based each verse in that stanza starts with that letter of the alphabet. We don't see that since it's obviously our Bible is in English, but that's the way it's laid out in the Hebrew. If we had Psalm 119 in Hebrew and we could all read and speak Hebrew, we would see that. But I wanted to mention that because every once in a while, really, you can see how these letters or words really add up to the subject matter that's going on in that stanza. And this is definitely going to be one that we see that not only this week, but next week as we talk about a door and the significance of that with it. But as we had just in our scripture reading, we could see that this is a point where David is really down. And this is not going to be the only time that we see that in Psalm 119. I mean, all of us, without exception, have gone through times that we are down in our life, kind of down in the dumps. There may be reasons for that. And then there's times where maybe it's not any real specific reason that you're kind of feeling gloom and that sort of thing. And it just is. I mean, a lot of times just the way being in a world that is out of whack, that is under sin, just dealing with their own sinful nature. I mean, it can be any kind of reason that may get our soul, our heart, our emotions just down. And it's like, and how do we deal with that? And it's like, because we know it happens more than just one time in our life. I mean, it's going to be something that's going to happen throughout. And so how do we deal with that? Unfortunately, a lot of times people deal with that by all the wrong ways, to where they let their flesh get in control, or they take counsel for the world, or whatever the case is, or decide to not do anything and just kind of stay in that condition. Well, that's not what God desires. And today, we're going to see just in these first four verses kind of really part of what can remedy that situation and what our focus needs to be. And that's why, as we've been coming through Psalm 119, we've been looking at each stanza. We do four verses so far, and we do 2 points in that. And today we're going to look at a need to be quickened, and we'll talk about that word quickened here in a little bit, verses 25 to 26, and then verses 27 to 28, a need to be strengthened. And we're going to see how we are quickened or how we are strengthened is going to be obviously through the Word of God. We see that so often, especially in Psalm 119, but really we're going to dig down into a little bit more of the depth of just that. It's not just saying, well, yeah, just the Word of God and you'll be good. No, but really looking at that what we need to do and how we need to go about it. So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll get started, because there's a number of things obviously that we need to cover in these four verses. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you for this place. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, specifically these four verses that you've given us today. Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would hear your word. As we talk about this year and being exercising ourselves to godliness and being fit in our faith and in our spirit and in our soul and even in our bodies, we talk about things that we can do just even physically to make sure that we are able to be used of you in this world as we as you decide to send us wherever we go, whether it's work, this thing in the home, whatever it is, that we would be moving, that we'd be active. But it all starts with our mind. It all deals and goes to our spirit and our soul. And today we are specifically looking at this, and as we titled having a sorrowful soul, how do we deal with that? And our emotions may get the better of us. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would be open to hear what you have to say and to be able to apply it to our lives. And really that is what it's all about. Our mind being open to your word, get the thoughts, your thoughts. Let it work into our soul, our heart, our emotions to see exactly what we need to decide to do. And then to do it. That's where the body comes in. That's where action comes in. And so, Lord, there may be us that are down even right now. It may be later this week that something happens or a circumstance that will bring our soul to sorrow. Father, help us today to understand the tools and the things that we need to be quickened or made alive and to be strengthened by you, by your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at this. Look at verse 25. It says this. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So that first phrase in verse 25, I mean, David is just laying it out. And he's talking to God about it, by the way. I mean, because obviously the second part of that verse is a prayer request. It says, again, quicken thou me according to thy word. That is what his request is, because his reality, his state right there, is that he is, his soul cleaveth to the dust. And that's why we talk about having a sorrowful soul. We talk about our emotions. We talk about our heart, the place that we make decisions. He's kind of down and out. And obviously, David's not the only one. It kind of reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think down in verse 13, where it deals with there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, all right? And he's not going to tempt us above that which we're able. But the first part of that verse deals with there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. In other words, you're not the only one that's going through some tough times. And nor will you, like I said before, be the only time or the only one. It's just common to something that being on this planet first and foremost. So with that in mind, let's go back to the book of Job, just one book before the book of Psalms. And some of you, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Job and all that he goes through. I want you to actually go to chapter 2 for this. And if you remember, we studied through Job a few years ago, and we see in chapter 1 that Satan comes before the Lord, and the Lord says, hey, where do you come from, Satan? And he says, well, from walking up and down, to and fro on the earth. And God brings up Job's name. How do you consider my servant Job? How there's none like him in all the earth, and gives him incredible testimony of how he is perfect and his shoes are shunned evil. And Satan says, well, if you let me at him, I bet you I can get Job to curse you to your face. So in chapter 1, the Lord says, have at it, you just can't kill him. And so what Satan does is go forth and take away basically what would be the equivalent of all of his income, all of his cattle, all of his sheep, and so forth. A lot of his servants die, but also his 10 kids die in one day, in one event. Basically, a whirlwind, or we would think a cyclone or a tornado or something like that came and just wiped out the house that they were all in and lost 10 kids in one day. And Job is getting all of this news, one right after another, all these things that are happening to him. Just can't even imagine what that would be. But he still has his integrity. He doesn't curse God. Chapter 2, Satan comes before the Lord, and it goes, the same thing happens again, but this time Satan says, well, let me have his help. Let me get at him. Then I know he's going to curse you to your face. The Lord says, have at it. You just can't kill him. All right? And so that's where we're going to pick it up. In Job chapter 2, look down in verse 7 and 8, it says this. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, or the top of his head. And he took him a potsherd, which is a dry piece of pottery, to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. So I can't even imagine the pain. Boils from the sole of his foot. I mean, it would be hard to walk with that condition, all the way to the top of his head. These sore boils, and he's taking a dry piece of pottery and just scraping them off. And he sets down among the ashes. It's like as you go back to Psalm 119, it's the same thing. David's talking about, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. It's like you are just lower than dirt. This is what Job is dealing with, what David is dealing with at this point, Psalm 119. They are at the low of the low. And I'm sure every one of us can identify some way, somehow with that. Maybe not to the magnitude of a Job, or, you know, we know from David that the times that his life was on the run, that Saul was trying to kill him, and even some of his own kids, Absalom was after him. I mean, David went through some terrible things. But yet, he's not giving up on God. I mean, we see that with Job. Job doesn't give up on God. I mean, Job says, yeah, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I mean, that's what Job says. I mean, he's continuing to trust God to the utmost. Even if God kills him, he's still trusting in God. But we see it with David. It's like, man, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken. That word quicken means to make alive. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I'll give you another reference real quick before we move on. I want you to go back to Psalm 44 real quick. Psalm 44. And this is in context of really dealing with the nation of Israel going through a tough time. Something that we even see in our world today, that Israel's been having a tough time and everything that they went through since they had their terrorist attack by Hamas back on October 7th. But you look at Psalm 44 and verse 23. As a nation, it's like, God, where are you? It says this in Psalm 44, picking up in verse 23. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. I mean, that is the state of where they think God's sleeping on the job. Have you ever wondered that? Be real, be honest. And just like David here, be real, be honest. So they think that God has forgotten all about him, just cast him off forever. They go on in verse 24, it says, wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgivest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Man, very low state. We can go through the history of the nation of Israel, and there's been a number of times, not just what we see in the Word of God, but even in our modern history, where that nation has gone through the thick of it. But yet God is still faithful to them. That's the lesson that we need to understand. Even though our soul may be cleaving unto the dust, even though that it felt like we're sitting down by the ashes, that it's all over. Even if we feel like, man, where's God at? Has he forgotten about me? God, are you asleep? Do you understand what's going on with my life right now? Yeah, God knows. He knows. But here's what needs to happen. We need the prayer request that David asked in verse 25. Quicken thou me according to thy word. This is something that we're going to see several times over as we come through Psalm 119, the prayer request of being quickened, to be made alive. And the thing that is going to quicken or make you alive is God's word. I want you to turn over to the Gospel of John real quick. John chapter 6, and I want you to notice what Jesus is saying. This is the time where we have the feeding of the 5,000. That's the only miracle that's actually in all four Gospels. And in John chapter 6, this is where he also lays out to where you need to eat of my body and to drink of my blood to have eternal life. And of course, they were not understanding what was going on. They thought, well, we literally got to eat your body and drink your blood to have eternal life. And Jesus is like, no, that's not what I'm getting at. Let me explain it to you. And down in verse 63 is the explanation of what he's talking about. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, it says this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So we see from that very verse that again, we talk about the Spirit that quickeneth, and what he is speaking, though, his words. All right, they are spirit, they are life. And so if we're going to be quickened, if we're going to be made alive, if we're going to deal with our soul being in sorrow, being cleaving to the dust, then we have got to allow the Word of God to quicken us, to make us life. We have got to spend time in the Word of God. Why don't you go over to Ephesians real quick? We see this in just in our salvation. And it's not just a matter of our salvation, but it needs to be a matter of our daily walk. But notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We see that word quicken again, and we see it really defined for us in Scripture. That's what I love about the King James Bible and how you may have a word that you don't use a lot, but he'll define it for you by a word that you understand within the same context. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So this speaks of the Christian's past. Before you were in Christ, this is what we were doing. We're walking according to the course of this world. We're walking according to the spirit, the prince of this world, which is Satan. We were the children of disobedience, but when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were quickened. In other words, our dead spirit was made alive in Christ. All right, and it doesn't stop there just with our salvation. It needs to be throughout our life that we use the Word of God to quicken us. I want to give you one more reference before we need to move on in Psalm 119. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. think a lot of you are familiar with this reference, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, really, when it comes down to this whole message today, it's really a simple theme. If your soul, if you're feeling down, how are you going to be made alive? How are you going to be quickened? How are you going to get out of that situation? What is your help to get through it? It is going to be the Word of God. It's really, in a sense, that simple. But it's a matter of actually us putting it into practice. Now, I love Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Listen, notice what it says. For the Word of God is quick. In other words, it's living. It's not a dead book. It's a living book. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now notice that we have all three aspects of our being in this verse. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, small s, our spirit, and we talk about in the joints and marrow, that's our body, that's our physical body. All right, and so it's not an accident that, you know, again, what this verse lays out for us, and we're talking about this year about having and being fit in all aspects of ourselves, in spirit, soul, and body. Here we have it in soul, spirit, and body. But it's the Word of God that is going to be quick and powerful. It's the Word of God that, notice what it says there, that it is a discerner. The Word of God discerns. Again, it's a living book. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. All right, it is a discerner of our thoughts and our spirit and everything that is going on. We're reading the Word of God, but in reality, it's reading us. That's why a lot of times when people, when it's like they know that their life is not right, they know they're not doing what is right, they don't want to hear the Word of God because the Word of God discerns. It cuts to the quick, the living, the heart, your spirit, your soul, and it's necessary for that. To be able to heal your soul and your spirit. Now, a couple of years ago, literally, it's been 2 years, just this past month, that I had a hip replacement. Right? My left hip had arthritis on it and bone spurs, that sort of thing, and the only fix was a total hip replacement. Right? And it's like, I was in denial to the point where they were wheeling me into the operating room. I couldn't believe I was having to go through this. Now, it hurt. It absolutely was miserable walking, being at work and having to walk on this hip. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been through that, whatever the case is. And there's something similar to that. Now, the remedy was going under the knife. To be able to replace, correct the thing that was wrong. And it's like, yes, it wasn't fun having to go through that surgery, but they kept on saying, once you have this hip replacement, man, you are going to feel so much better. I'm like, sure it is. I remember when I woke up after surgery and the surgeon came in, how do you feel? And he's like, you feel like you've been hit by a truck? Yeah, something like that. But you know what? After a few days, after getting up and walking on and so forth, it's like, it was a different kind of pain. The pain that I had for the hip, that was gone. I had some surgery pain, but that got better each and every day through the week and so forth and continue to walk and everything like that. And now it's like, hey, praise God, this is so much better than what it was beforehand. What was the remedy? I had to go under the knife. Now your soul may be in sorrow. It may be stuck to the dust like David is talking about, or you're sitting among the ashes like Job is talking about, but what is going to help you get out of that situation is the sword of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's able to do the surgery necessary in your soul to quicken, to make you alive, to be able to get through that circumstance. It's the Word. Let's go back to Psalm 119. We need to move on. I know I spent a lot of time in verse 25, but we need to move on. Again, it says this, Psalm 119, from verse 25 into verse 26. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Now, this is one of the things, man, I tell you, it's just being honest with the Lord. David says, I've declared my ways, and thou heardest me. You understand that God, He's going to hear you. He's waiting to hear from you. Whatever is going on with your soul, whatever is happening in your life, He's ready to hear you. And part of that is being honest with Him and saying, you know what? I'm going to declare my ways. Now, we've already talked about this in Psalm 119. We've already talked about the very first prayer request we've seen in Psalm 119 was, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes in verse 5. It's like David's desire was that his ways wanted to be according to the Word of God. In other words, not walking according to how I want to walk. I want to walk according to how the Word of God lays out how I'm supposed to walk. And here in his honesty, he's like, you know what? I've declared my ways. How many of us are bold enough to say, you know what, Lord? Here are my ways. And I need you to teach me your Word. Sometimes maybe our soul is in sorrow because our ways are not according to the ways of God. And just being open and honest. I can't remember what day it was this week. A couple of days ago. It's like I absolutely did not want to go to work. Well, I didn't want to go to work. I mean, I like my job. I enjoy my job. All right? Last couple of days, had some fun. I mean, it was some things that we had to deal with. You know, but I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember which one it was. But it's like, I was not feeling it. And it was not necessarily any particular reason. I just didn't feel it. I mean, there's things dealing with the church floor. I mean, some other things that were going on, that sort of stuff. But I mean, nothing. There's nothing really intense in a grand scheme of things major. But I just wasn't feeling it. I remember being at work and one of the security officers was like, hey, how you doing, Charles? It's like, I'm not doing well. I didn't say, put on a fake smile. Oh yeah, praise God, everything's going well. No, I didn't want to be there. And I just told him, not having a good day. And he was like, okay, no problem. The next day I was in a better mood, and he was like, hey, yeah, how you doing? I go, I'm good. You're in a better mood. Yes, I am. Just honest. And no particular reason. Another guy at work, it's like, I'm just having one of those days, one of the surveillance guys. He goes, oh yeah, I know what you mean, man. It's like, I thought it was just me that had days like that, that for no particular reason I was down. I just thought it was just me. I go, nope. I'm not feeling it today. But you know what I still did that day? I still spent time in the Word. I still spent time praying, talking to the Lord about it, because I know He's got the fix. His Word is going to help. I declared my ways. Now, let's turn over to Proverbs. I had you in Job earlier, but I want you to go to the book after Psalms. And in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to have you land in chapter 14. I want you to notice a couple things here. In Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12, and then we're going to jump down to verse 14 as well. But first of all, Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, this verse is so important. This truth is so important that God puts it in Proverbs twice. Just have you write this down. It's actually in chapter 16 and verse 25, the exact same verse. Now, God doesn't waste space in His Word. So when you see something in there twice, that means you have got to understand this. Now, remember I said that the significance of this Hebrew letter that in the stanza that we're studying is Daleth, that means door. When you open up a door, it provides what? A way to be able to go in, to be able to go out. And David says, I've declared my way. But what I need is your way. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right. You see, this direction says, well, this seems like a right thing to do, but if you don't check it with God, if you don't spend time in the Word of God, if you don't spend time praying to God by something, it may look like it's the right way, but in reality, it ends in death. And it's unfortunate a lot of sometimes people, even believers in Christ, that's what we do. We decide what way we're going to go, and it's not what God wants us to do. And then we're like, well, why is this not working out? Well, it's because we chose to do our way. Or maybe a way of the world as opposed to God's way. Now, if you're in Proverbs 14 still, look down in verse 14. This happens too much. It says the backslider in, notice, heart. That's the same thing as dealing with your soul, your emotions, where you make decisions of what you're going to do. Are you going to follow the truth of the Word of God? Are you going to follow your flesh? You know how the world is? Follow your heart. The Word of God says, no, 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 no. That's the last thing you need to do. Jeremiah says, your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart, your flesh. No, we need to follow God's ways. And it says there, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Plural. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. In other words, if I want to be a good man, it's like I need to not follow what my way, what my flesh wants to do. Let me get away from that. Let me flee from that and follow after the things that God has laid out for us, as we have studied, as we have seen in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. All right? Flee to follow. All right? I think my wife talked about that on Wednesday, last week or this week, I can't remember which. But yeah. It lays out, I got to get away from the ways of the things of this world. Turn over to John real quick. I had you there just a little bit ago in chapter 6. I want you to actually go to chapter 14. I want you to notice what Jesus says. We've seen from Proverbs about really the foolishness of trying to follow our own way. We're coming from Psalm 119 where David says, I've declared my ways. All right? Laying it all out. But notice, I want you to notice in John chapter 14, it's a familiar verse in verse 6. Thomas asked Jesus, where's the way? I know you say you're going somewhere. What's that way? How can we follow that? Jesus responds this way in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. The way. That means, that implies just one. Not a way. The way. A way may seem right, but the end thereof is death. That categorizes every religion in the world. Now this looks like it's a good way. Buddhism has an eightfold path. I guess eight different ways to get to enlightenment. But the end thereof is death. Every religion, which is man-made, seems like it's a good way. But the end is nothing but death. And Bible death is eternity away from God in hell. Jesus says, I am the way. So, get open, get honest with God and say, you know what, these are my ways. This is what I do. This is how I am at work. This is what I do at the home. This is, you know, whether it's in my marriage or whether it's how I deal with friends and how I deal with people. Lord, help me to make sure that I have your way, the way, in all areas and aspects of my life. All right? That is what is so important. I want you to turn over a little bit more to 1 Corinthians and look at it even from our doctrine of the dispensation of grace. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. As you make your way there, we're going to get down to verse 17. Paul is having to deal with Corinth and all the different problems and situations that they're having chapter after chapter after chapter. So he dispatches his son in the faith, Timothy, to go remind them of his ways, which of course are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, down in verse 17, it says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He teaches the same thing, his ways in Christ. So it's not Paul's ways, like in his flesh, what he comes up with and what he thinks is right, his opinion. No. His ways would be in Christ, the things that Christ shows him according to the Word of God. That's what Paul communicated to Timothy, and that Timothy is going to remind the Corinthians of these ways. Again, the truth that's laid out in the doctrine that is given to us. That he teaches the same thing everywhere. That's what we need. But it means also that we're honest with the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Again in verse 26. I have declared my ways. And thou heardest me. His prayer request? Teach me thy statutes. It's not the first time that David prays this. I've already mentioned it before. And verse 5. Oh, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. But he's asking, he's like, teach me. I need you to teach me. God can't teach you if you don't open up his word. It's not going to happen by osmosis. And it's not going to just zap it into your brain and your heart. We have to open his word and let his word do its work in our spirit, in our soul, so that we can apply it to our life and carry it out in our body. Take it to action, not just to know something, but wisdom. I want you to turn, we're still in Psalms, I want you to go back to Psalm 86 real quick. Psalm 86 down in verse 11, see what it says there. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Again, this is a prayer of David, Psalm of David. It says this, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. What an incredible prayer request. He wants the Lord to teach him his way. And then he makes a vow. He just says, I will walk in thy truth. We've talked about this before. We're asking God to teach us his word. Are we going to apply it? He says, hey, teach me your word. I will walk in thy truth, the word of God. And he prays, unite my heart to fear thy name. Now his heart, his soul is united with God. What? To fear his name, to have that respect. That reverence that he's going to, again, that's going to affect how you walk and the things that you do. You go back to Psalm 119. Again, there's so many places that we can look at this, and we will as we continue to come through Psalm 119. I'm not going to take the time to go there, but Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 is a good cross-reference for us, again, and the things that Paul says, those things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Again, the application of the Word of God given to us, that's what we need. That's the way that's laid out for us. That's what we need to have the Lord teach us. Again, the things that is for, under the dispensation of grace. And it's interesting, as we do those things, it says the God of peace is going to be with us. And that's what we need in our heart. That's what we need in our soul. Now, before we move on to the second point, I'm going to read verses 25 and 26 again. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. No matter how low he is feeling, Lord, I want to know your word. Here are the things that are my ways that I'm doing. Teach me how to do the right things. That's what he's saying. And my point is, when you're down in the dumps, do you necessarily feel like doing anything? Just giving you an example. I did not feel like going to work. But if I want to get paid, if I want to keep my job, you know, that sort of thing, guess what? I better get my butt in the car down the road and be ready to go. Did I feel like doing it? No, but I did. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to step on too many toes or anything like that. But I'm just going to... Okay. there's a lot of things that we will physically do because we know we're going to get a paycheck. In other words, go to work, whatever. But when it comes to our time with God, we'll let that go. I just don't feel like it today. The times that we don't feel like spending time with God. Okay, and I'm talking about coming to church. All right, this is just talking. You're not church. All right. I mean, I try everything I can to be at church no matter what, that sort of thing. But there's been times in my life that, you know what, I got a tag team, somebody else has got to do it because there's no way I can be there. All right, that sort of thing. I'm not even really dealing with that. What I'm dealing with is just time in the Word of God. All right. It's like, you know, I don't feel like it. And so, you know, we will do things for other reasons. But when it comes to God, for some reason, it's easy for us to say, you know what? Well, I'll get to it when I feel better. And that is the time we most need to have our time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer when we don't feel like it. Do the right thing and let your feelings catch up later. Do the right thing. All right, God's going to honor that. All right, and that's what we see here with David. Obviously, he's down in the dumps here, but what's he still doing? God, teach me. These are my ways, but teach me. All right, let's move on. We talk about being quickened, the need to be quickened, to be made alive. We also need to be strengthened. Let's move on to verse 27. Verse 27, it says this. I love it. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. He says, make me to understand the way. Again, that door aspect leads to a way. Make me understand the way. Man, what an incredible prayer request. It's almost like, even when I don't feel like it, even if I'm kind of bucking against it, Lord, here's what I need to do. Make me understand your way. Set me down, do whatever it takes, so I understand your way, that I understand what you want me to do. Let me understand what's going on. Make me do it. As parents, when we had young kids, wasn't it that your kids always did what you asked them to do? Did that ever happen? Any parent in here, all right? When your kids, especially when they're the toddler, weren't there some times, maybe one or two times, that you had to make them do what needed to be done? I mean, let's get real here. I love to sit here and say, yeah, Andrew was just perfect. You know, asked him to clean up his room, he cleaned up the room and the kitchen. We were all like that. Think about when you were a kid. Did you obey your parents in everything that they told you to do? Or was there some time where they had to make you do some things? David is like, you know what, Lord? I want you to make me do this. Make me understand your way. Make me. I wonder what would happen if we all decided to pray that for us this week. Lord, make me to understand your way. You'd be like, I don't know if I want that, because what does that mean? It might mean some inconvenience in your life. It may mean some things that you didn't have on the schedule plan, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you want me to make you understand the way? We're going to have you deal with this. But God always has our best for us. And so he's going to make me understand the way. I want you to turn over to the book of Colossians. Make me understand. We need to have understanding. That's what David is laying out. And it's like, you know, maybe our soul is in the dumps because there's something that we just don't understand that maybe we are doing, or something that's going on that we don't understand, and we need the Lord to give us understanding. He may have brought us to this place that we finally get to the place that we actually look up and say, okay, Lord, what's going on? Make me understand. Well, I want you to notice in Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to give you two references at Colossians here. In Colossians chapter 1, I want you to look down to verse 9. We're going to read through verse 11. This is a prayer that Paul has for the Colossians. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and, we can say, in all spiritual understanding. He wants the Colossians to understand everything that God has for them. And he goes on and says, why? What's the purpose? Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Action, your body. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is stuff that we really need. I mean, you know me. I like question and answer Bible study. We can get into some deep things, and we can talk about a lot of things, and eternity past, eternity future, and you know what the Bible has to say about this, that, and the other, and get into some quote-unquote really deep things of God. But this, in actuality, is where it is at. Lord, give me the knowledge. Give me the understanding so I can understand all the things that I can walk and have bear fruit and all the good works and so forth and be strengthened to have your might to be able to deal with some long suffering that's going to take place. If we're living for the Lord on this planet, we're going to go through some junk that can bring our soul down. That's why. That is why we need God's Word to quicken us and to strengthen us. Now, I want you to keep in Colossians. I'm just going to go back and read verse 27 again from Psalm 119. It says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Lord, if you show me, make me to understand the way of your precepts, your word, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to talk of thy wondrous works. It's a vow again. This is something that he is determined that he is going to do. He's not going to just take what God gives him and waste it and do nothing with it. Lord, you make me to understand your precepts. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk of your wondrous works. You're still in Colossians. Look at chapter 4. In chapter 1, we have a prayer to understand these things, to grow in knowledge, to be able to have the wisdom, the understanding, to be able to be fruitful in all good works. Chapter 4, interesting enough, we pick it up in verse 3. We're going to read down to verse 6. Notice what Paul says. And he's in prison, by the way, at this time. All right, he's not out free. Everything is not going well in his life. I'm sure there's opportunities and times for his soul to be stuck to the dirt. Being in prison, can't go anywhere. And for no good reason, why he's in prison. He's in prison for preaching Christ. But he says this in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us, notice this, a door of utterance. What does Deus mean? Psalm 119, door, opens up a way. He's in prison. He's locked behind prison doors. You would think he would not have any opportunity to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. Maybe Paul is like down in the dumps, you would think, and all sad and depressed because he's in jail for no good reason of his own, because the Jews were jealous of him. He was preaching Christ. They throw him in jail, hoping for him to die. He's not wallowing in sorrow. He's doing what? God, give me an open door. I want to be able to speak the truth. It says, again, with all praying, verse 3, also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, in prison, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Lord, make me to understand your truth, your word, and I want to be able to be made to be able to speak the truth of the Word of God. God, give me an open door. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Good night. Love the Word of God. Love how it fits together. We can take something from Psalm 119, written thousands of years ago, and see how it applies for us in our doctrine today. I'm going to tell you something. Your soul's in sorrow. You want to know how to help that situation?
Open the Word of God. Allow the Word of God quicken you. Allow the Word of God deal with you in your heart and in your spirit and your soul and your very being. Allow the Word of God to quicken you. But instead of being focused on whatever's gotten you down, here's what you need to do. Turn the focus around. And it's like, Lord, teach me your Word. Give me an open door that I can speak your truth to somebody else. And then you're focused on ministering to somebody else instead of sitting there in your sorrow. Being focused on you. That's actually prideful. And just don't think of pride about thinking that, well, you're all that, you're the great thing against sliced bread. Pride is all you're doing is focus. If you're focused on how woe is me, that's pride. You're focused on yourself. Paul's not focused on himself being in prison. You think he would have every right, in a sense, to be sorrow and down on his luck and so forth that he's stuck behind prison bars? It's like, okay, physical bars may be closed, but Lord, I'm looking and I want a spiritual, you give me an open door. But I can speak the wonderful things of your Word. To be able to minister the truth to somebody else. He's focused on reaching others. You start focusing on doing God's work, you might be amazed to see how good it will do for your soul. But instead, what we do is we allow our flesh, we allow Satan to deceive us and to feed us, live on a lie. It's like, oh, just focus on you. Woe is you. Oh, yeah. You need people. I mean, taking off my glasses. You know I'm getting serious now. I love the medium of Facebook for some reasons of being able to get the truth out there. But there are sometimes people on Facebook, they will say and air the most intimate, can I use this word? It rhymes with rap and it starts with the letter C. So you know what I'm talking about. They will put stuff on Facebook and they want the sympathy. They want people and their friends to come in like, woe is me and all that. I'm not saying that there might be some time that you have to say, hey, I got this going on, can you pray for us? Whatever, that sort of thing. I'm not talking about, but they will air some of the things that are just like, you know what? Why don't you keep that to yourself or keep it to a friend that you talk to personally? But they do it because why? I want some sympathy. Come on, woe is me. Look how bad it is for me. They're not looking for answers. They're not looking for truth of the Word of God to help get out of that situation. They're looking for a pity party. And they wonder why their life doesn't ever change. They don't wonder why things don't get better. But you need to get in the Word and let the Word of God get in you and focus on what God's way, what He has for you, and to be able to actually look for opportunities to minister to somebody else. And if you do that thing, you might be really surprised that your soul feels good. The problem with our world is they really don't want truth. They want to sit in their sorrow instead of allowing the Scriptures to get into their soul and change them for the better. Psalm 119. Interesting. We come through. We're going to pick it up in verse 28. And the start of verse 28 sounds like the beginning of verse 25. We've come through this. I mean, you look at it. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways. Thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. And too far. It says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And then verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. He's still down. My soul melteth for heaviness. It says, with this prayer request, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. You might ask, it's like, okay, well, he's done all these things, and I see where you're going, preacher, and all this, but then why is it that in verse 28 he's still saying, my soul melted for heaviness? Why is his soul still down? He's melting away. He's weeping away. That still whatever is burdening him is still there. Here's what we also do as human beings, as Christians. We say, okay, I know I'm down, and I know I need to look to the Lord, I need to focus on Him, so I'm going to focus on Him, I'm going to read the Word, I'm going to pray to Him, and all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I'm still feeling bad. Well, that didn't work. Oh, obviously God doesn't care. Did David do that? Nope.
Yeah, his soul's still melting there, even after all that we've come through. But what's his prayer request? Strengthen thou me according to thy word. He is not giving up on God's word. I don't know how long it may take for God to answer your prayer to deal with it, but the answer is not stopping doing the only thing that's going to help you. Oh, one thing I didn't mention when we were in John chapter 6, I mean, after Jesus lays all this out, you eat of my body and drink of my blood to have eternal life and so forth, and he goes, no, I'm not talking about physically eating me and drinking my blood. The words that I speak unto you, the Spirit and their life. Many of his disciples, the Word of God says, left him. And it says that in John chapter 6, verse 66. Don't miss that. 666. Many of his disciples went away. You know what Jesus did? He wasn't like, oh, come back, come back. He looked at his 12 that he's been investing in and like, hey, you also going to go away? Peter looks at him and says, where else are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. Folks, it is that kind of attitude that we need to have. Just because your circumstance, whatever has gotten your soul down, doesn't turn around on a dime. It doesn't mean you give up on God. It doesn't mean you give up on the Word of God. No, you stay exactly there. It's like again with Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. You're going to stick to the Word of God because, again, it is what's going to strengthen you. God has His timing. That's literally my devotion today out of Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. He's got His appointed time for each and every one of us. Throughout our life and things like that, there are things that are going to happen. He has an appointed time, but that appointment is only going to be held up if we're not doing what we need to do. I'm going to give you two more references and we're done. I want you to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, first and foremost. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's interesting that Paul tells Timothy this as he's getting ready to command and charge him to do work of ministry. And that it's going to be tough. You're going to need to be like a soldier, Timothy. You're going to have to endure hardness, Timothy, because it's not easy being in ministry. There's going to be some things that get your soul down. But you know what? This is what you need to do. You need to do this from the very beginning, get-go. You need to set your heart. You need to set your soul in this frame of mind. You need to make sure you are doing exactly this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, this is in the context of where Paul is talking about people that turn away from the truth, turn away from Him, turn away from the doctrine that God gave Paul to lay out to us in the dispensation of grace. And he starts chapter 2, verse 1, says this, thou therefore, because there's people turning away, people that says, you know what, God, forget it. I'm going to go my own way. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You need to be strong in His grace. And the way to do that is what? Spend the time in the Word of God. You go back to the book of Ephesians, our last reference for this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, and it's dealing with the armor of God. And it's interesting that this is in Ephesians, and Timothy was the pastor of the church in Ephesus. Not a strange coincidence there at all, by any stretch of the imagination. In Ephesians chapter 6, just look down in verse 10. Paul coming down, he's come through a number of things in his book, in his letter. And he says this in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His power, His might, His strength. And he goes on laying out the seven different pieces of the armor of God that we need to have on. Because we're in spiritual warfare and spiritual battle.
Now, folks, understand this last thing.
That's why we're ending here.
In a reference about being strong in the Lord, the power of His might, in the context of a spiritual battle.
Who do you think wants you to be down in the dumps?
Jesus in John chapter 10 says, "The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Who wants you down in the dumps? It's your flesh.
Their flesh doesn't want to do what's right. Your flesh doesn't want to serve God. Paul makes that very clear in Romans chapter 7. In the flesh, dwells no good thing.
So your flesh doesn't want you to be happy. It's only happy when it's serving itself, fulfilling its lust. The world. You think the world wants you to be happy?
No. The world just wants to get everything it can get out of you.
It doesn't want you happy. It wants you down. Satan? You think he wants you happy?
No. He will do everything he can. Especially if you're determined to serve the Lord, to get in the Word of God, he's going to do everything he can to stop that. And the only weapon, the only source, the only thing that we have that can quicken and make us alive and to strengthen us to be able to do the work that God has given us, easy answer. It's the Word of God. We got everything that we need. Like we talked about a week or so ago, we got 66 counselors right here in our hand. It's the Word that's going to make us alive. It's the Word that's going to give us the strength. But what we have to do, whether we feel like it or not, is have a consistent time in His Word and pray the things of His Word back to God. That's what we've been seeing with David today. And it may not be that you feel good the next day or the next week or whatever it is, or the circumstance of the situation is going to be down. I mean, I'm not thrilled to death about what's going on over there in that floor. Woohoo! Praise God! The floor is all messed up. It's going to cost a bunch of money to fix it. After we put a bunch of money in it, to have done there. But am I going to let something like that get me down so I can't do what's so important each and every week? Spending time in the Word and communicating the truth of the Word of God? They're going to be like, you know, guys, I don't feel it this Sunday. This has got me too messed up. I'm weeping. I'm crying. I don't know what. You know what? We're just going to go a Sunday. We're not going to be in the Word. I just can't do it. Or you'd be like, you know what? Stand in the Word. This isn't going to be fixed anytime soon. All right? It's going to be fixed, whatever. It's in God's hands. He will give us the direction to deal with it. But what's the focus? Not the physical. It's the spiritual. This is where it's at. And this is what's going to strengthen us to help us deal with everything. And remember that whatever is going on in your life, whatever circumstance that may be drawing at your soul and getting you down, get in the Word, stay in the Word, and talk to God about it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you again for your Word. I just, each and every week, out of the biggest chapter in the heart of your Word, I know you're giving things to me and those who hear your Word. Things that we desperately need in our lives. Reality. Not some fluff. Not some of the stuff that goes on in the name of Christianity today. But you're giving us solid truth of your Word that we need to listen to, that we need to allow into our soul, into our mind, so that we walk accordingly. That's how we're going to be fit in every aspect of our life. That's how we exercise ourselves to godliness, to be like you. So Lord, help us to take these things to heart. And it could be later this afternoon that something is going to get us down. Lord, help us to pray that you quicken us according to your Word, to strengthen us according to your Word. Help us to pray to you, to talk to you about the things that are going on and trust you. And the problem may not be fixed at the end of the day or the end of the week, maybe even the end of the month or the end of the year. But where else do we have to go? You have the words of eternal life. We know from your word that it's all going to be fine. It's all going to work out one way or the other. Nothing's too hard for you, Lord. Help us to be a people that truly, we're Faith Bible Church, that we truly walk by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.